Oh, you are fly today. Where you going?
Oh, you know,
what are you saying? Okay. You know, there's like, that's one of the things a lot of people do instead of giving you a compliment. Where are you going?
Okay,
that's the compliment.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Taylor Coward, and I'm here with Cheryl Jackson and Jennifer Shea Love Long. And today, we're talking all things body and body image.
I had to go to therapy for that, Craig. I'm kidding.
Look, where is Craig? Let's roll up on Craig, okay?
We're chatting about our bodies, our relationships to them, and the lessons our bodies have taught us. And later, we talk to Michaela Duerson. She's a plus-size model, photographer, and voiceover artist, and she tells us about the triumphs and the challenges of working in an image-based industry.
I developed a mantra that everything they made fun of me for is going to make me money one day.
Wow.
And I started saying it all of the time.
That's coming up.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
So, Cheryl, Jennifer, what was your relationship like with your bodies growing up?
I have a moment that I remember about my relationship with my body. I was in my middle school's drill team, and I had to wear one of, you know, those little skirts, those little cheerleader skirts. And at the time, you know, we were wearing like pantyhose and then like the skirt. But there was this guy in middle school. Can I say his name? I'm going to say it. Craig. Okay.
Putting Craig on blast.
Putting him on blast. Okay. And he, you know, made the comment, thunder thighs. And I'm like, you know, in middle school, that is when you are the most impressionable, right? Like that stuck with me for so long. And I would say that that's not necessarily something that I thought about, but I certainly have thought about it since that time, you know, and it certainly shifted how I looked at my body. Just that one comment shifted how I looked at my body.
Wow. Girl, where's
Craig? I had to go to therapy for that, Craig.
Look,
I'm kidding.
Look, where is Craig? Let's roll up on Craig, okay?
But I, no, in all seriousness, though, I feel like I had a pretty healthy relationship with my body. Like, I like the feeling of working out. Mm-hmm. I like the feeling of walking, being outside. I grew up in a space when I was outside. We used to go skiing and hiking and all this other kind of stuff. And so I grew up valuing a relationship with my body, that it was kind of my vessel to be able to do all of these really, you know, kind of fun, active things.
Mm-hmm.
How about you guys?
So I grew up in Memphis, and, you know, the girls are curvy and thick and chocolate, and I wasn't those things. So I was a, what they referred to at the time as a beanpole. I was skinny. Yes. Tall and skinny. And I just didn't fit in Memphis. You know, you gotta be a brick house. Okay.
Right.
Was it 36, 24, 36? I was 20, 10, 20. Okay. But I had great self-perception and self-confidence, and I think I can thank my my mother for that, of normalizing my body for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that it was a desirable thing until I left Memphis and went to Chicago. I came to Chicago, and they were like, where did you get those abs? Where did you get? It was my body type was more valued or more appreciated outside of the South.
What was for you, Jennifer? Did you notice that there was a preferred body type in New Mexico?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's such an interesting point, because I had a similar experience where, you know, in New Mexico, I was too thick. You know, they used to call me Bower's butt, right?
Oh, no.
I'm like, that was my maiden name. But anyway, but when I went away to college.
Hello.
Where'd
you go to school?
I went to Hampton.
Okay, enough said.
Yeah. It was like, oh, wow. Nice little butt you got on you. So yeah, definitely a little bit different. How about you, Taylor?
I feel like I'm fortunate to have grown up when I did, because I feel like bodies were much more accepted of different shapes and abilities by the time I was coming up. I watch a lot of the Golden Girls, and I always tell people, like, I probably couldn't have survived the 80s, because the worst thing that you could say to one of the Golden Girls is that their butt looks big. Mm-hmm. They, like, go up, you know? And now, you know, butts are the thing at this present moment. And so, you know, bodies, it's so interesting. They have trends. They probably shouldn't, but we definitely have trends in what's favored at the time. And so it's so interesting to hear that despite the trends of, you know, the mainstream, there were still regional differences.
Oh, yeah.
The name I got a lot was Olive Oil. Y'all remember Popeyes?
Yes.
Loved her, though.
Olive Oil. That was a big nickname for me. And my brothers, you know, I have three brothers, and they used to tease me, Cheryl, what's that hanging from your skirt? And I looked down. I was thinking it's a piece of thread. They were like, oh, my bad. You know, those are your legs. I thought that was a piece of thread.
Oh.
Yes. So this is what I grew up with, being so thin.
But it was once favored. Like, Olive Oil maybe was drawn after, like, a 20s flapper or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but then here's the darker side of it, that people would assume I had a eating disorder, you know, because of my size. And it would just frustrate me. And, you know, I'd be angry. Like, what are you talking about? I don't.
Are you one of those people that just struggle to put on weight?
I struggle to put on weight. I would, like, try to drink milkshakes every day. And but I was, is my DNA, you know, it's just, I was, you know, my tall and lanky people are in my family. And, but then, you know, like I said, in certain circles, it was just like, oh, wow, you should be a model. You should. I was 5'10" and I fit a certain profile. Mm-hmm. And so in certain circles, in certain places, it was really, you know, desired body type. But I'm liking today that, you know, the inclusiveness of a spectrum of body types is where we should be.
Where do you think you fit on that spectrum? You know, I think we have too many labels at the moment, you know. Mm-hmm. We were introduced with Slim Thick from Fetty Wap. We got just different shapes of the black silhouette. Where do you think that you fall on our spectrum?
What does thick mean?
Like, you know, unfortunately, I think when people say thick, they are imagining, you know, thick in the places that are not a gut or an arm, you know? Mm. It's like,
fine.
Okay. It's like it's a desired shape that's probably not that realistic. So Slim Thick, I brought that up because when I first heard that, I took that to mean, you know, no belly, tiny waist, huge
behind. Just
booty.
Yeah, just where are we shape wise? I think I'll share first. I think I'm a pear.
Okay.
Yeah. Not much up top. Whole lot of southern at the bottom, you know?
I think I would fall in the, gosh, I guess, okay, so there's pear shapes.
Mm-hmm. There's apples.
Apples. Is there?
How many more fruits?
You know, I guess I'd maybe fall, maybe the, I think I've been described as thick.
Are you an hourglass? Just come out and say it.
Okay. I'm an hourglass.
My body has changed over the years. Mm. You know, I was little on top and fuller on the bottom. And, you know, we had breast cancer and had a mastectomy. So I use that as an opportunity to upgrade on the top.
There you go.
That's right.
So got that upgrade going. So, yeah, I got, you know, up top and bottom. You know, I got some junk in my trunk now. So, yeah, I'm what they call, what I've been told, statuesque. Tall.
Yes.
And
yes. You are statuesque.
Statuesque.
Work.
Yes. So you brought up your breast cancer mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. Were there any other pivotal events in your life that changed the way you thought about your body or how you perceived it?
Oh, that's a good question. The biggest for me was breast cancer.
Yeah, it has to be.
Now, you know, I'm fighting menopause, so what? It's a thing.
What?
It's a thing.
Fight.
Why fight?
Because I'm going to tell you what, the devil is a lie, okay?
You are conquering menopause.
I am going to conquer. We are not going to have a menopausal belly. We are not doing that.
Not today.
Not today or tomorrow.
Right.
I'm trying to take sexy to the end. And so I got to, you know, I'm gearing up for the fight. But no, it's just, it's a thing. Actually, even before, you know, my menopausal period kicked in because of breast cancer and other, you know, issues, I had a hysterectomy. These things turn your estrogen levels off immediately. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what keeps you, you know, from gaining this weight. We need estrogen to control that. Mm-hmm. And then, so my estrogen levels were cut off overnight. And they have a profound effect and impact on your body. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that glass half full is forcing me to be very healthy, okay?
Yes.
Eat healthily and exercise. But, yeah, I think that's the thing now with me and my crew. This menopause thing is real.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think having kids. I weighed more than my ex at the time. And I was like, you know, just feeling very.
Was that new for you?
Yeah.
Okay. I grew up that way.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Like, you know, I remember sitting next to a boy. And I had to have been like fourth grade or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just this, the comparison of our thighs.
Yes.
I was just like, two of your thighs is
right.
a quarter of my thigh. And so I had to learn to be okay with that, I guess, really young, of like, my structure and my frame is just going to be bigger than most of the people around me. And so I'm curious of like, as an adult, what was that experience like and that realization?
When you're carrying a child, it's like you're fueling it. So I was very like, okay, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm doing all of these things to nurture this human inside of me. And whatever that kind of takes, that's what I'm going to do. And so I think as I've kind of grown, my relationship with my body has been more about like, wow, the things this thing can do, you know, even in the midst of illness, even in the midst of having children, even, you know, overcoming, like, you know, pushing yourself to do a hike that you've never done before. Like, I think I have a different relationship with my body in the sense that, like, I value its strength and I also recognize its vulnerabilities too.
Mm. For me, the pandemic was a big shift for me.
Okay.
Of just like, because I would be hesitant to wear a swimsuit outside before, like in high school when people were smaller than I was, or having my arms out was a problem for me. But then when I saw people like getting COVID and dying, mm-hmm. and like school having to end and life being put on pause, you just see that like you just got to live. And mm-hmm. the body that you have right now, be grateful for it, right. however it looks, whatever it does, things maybe it can't do. Mm-hmm. It's still yours, and just enjoy it as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in my generation are thinking of it as, this is my body and it does essential functions and I'm just going to accept it as it is. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that can bleed into even older generations, because we should all feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I was walking through Target and I noticed, you know, all of the different images, the imagery has changed, mm-hmm. right? The body type imagery has changed. And like even on Athleta, the body type imagery has also changed. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Like, I think, you know, it is really empowering to recognize that, like, you could be any type, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and there is, mm-hmm. there's just
you
value.
Can see yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can see finally yourself. See yourself.
Right.
You
and
know?
There's a place for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, I knew things had changed when Barbie, okay. when Barbie changed. Okay.
Right. So what was that? That's a pivotal moment, is Barbie, mm-hmm. like seeing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taylor, when did you sort of say, that's me, like I get to see myself?
I feel like that's happened more recently.
Okay.
You know, with Lizzo's, mm-hmm. Nicole Byers, even just a lot of influencers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing that and it being normalized and blowing up has been important to see.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rihanna's line.
Yeah, and even for men,
shows.
Like she's really doing it in a good
it.
Way.
She
yeah,
really she is, man. Hats off to Riri.
Yes.
Coming up, we're talking to Michaela Duerson, Emmy Award-winning talent, model, and photographer, who tells us why everybody is wrong and why we should listen to our bodies.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Michaela Duerson is a self-made multi-hyphenate. She's a self-taught photographer, professional model, and she's not here to sugarcoat anything about growing into your body, redefining your body narrative, and trusting your gut, whether it be flat or round.
It all started when I was 5 years old. I wanted to be a model. I always wanted to be a model. My mom was a model, so I wanted to be a model. And yeah, so I told my mom I wanted to be a model, and she immediately put me in gymnastics. I was so mad. But she just said gymnastics would give me the confidence I needed to model, and she wasn't wrong.
So. Wow. Can you talk about some of the things you learned in gymnastics that you still use in modeling?
Yeah. So one of the things, which if you weren't a gymnast, you would not probably know this, but you lose points if you pick a wedgie. Legit. You will lose. Back then, it was a tenth of a point every time you adjusted your leotard, specifically if you picked the wedgie. And I was one of two black girls on my team, and we were fuller than the other girls. Yeah. So, like, my booty was eating up that leotard.
You're like, I have a lot of wedgie points to pick.
Yeah. So you're out there tumbling, and, like, the thing is thing. Like, it's out.
Yeah.
And if you want your points, you don't touch it. So it taught me to focus on the task at hand outside of what my body looked like.
Wow.
And I don't think I've ever actualized that realization until just now. But that is what it taught me. Like, you had to focus on the task at hand outside of what your body looked like.
So with a model mother, with gymnastics and being an athlete, what was your relationship like growing up with your body?
Girl, I developed boobs in fifth grade and big ones.
Bless your heart.
Big ones. I remember my grandma, my mom's mom, pulled me to the side one summer and she was like, baby, you're developing grapes. Oh. Do you know what your grapes are? And I was looking at her and I was like, yes, grandma. And she's like, we're going to go get you some brassieres. Aww. And so she and my mom had set it up for my dad to take me, and it was maiden form.
Oh.
And I got measured, and they gave me bras and stuff. But yeah, I developed in fifth grade. I was still competing, and I had to wear a sports bra and a regular bra underneath my leotards. At some point, my boobs got so big that I wore a regular wire bra and a sports bra and two leotards to tumble and hold them down.
Wow.
And I remember in like eighth grade, I was like 120 pounds. And maybe I was like, I don't know, maybe I was around the peak of my height, 5'6", 5'7". And I was a double D. I was like 38 double D in eighth grade at 120 pounds. I'm 100 more pounds more than that right now.
You're
so
back.
Can you imagine that frame?
Yeah. Well, did you have back problems?
Girl, yeah, I was on Celebrex, which is like, it's a arthritis medicine, and it was causing people to have heart attacks, and my parents took me off of it.
You were like, I'm a little young for the seventh grade heart attack.
Yeah. I mean, I was taking it partly because of gymnastics. I had injured myself, but it was also like I just had, you know, this heavy weight. So the way I describe it to people is picture, you know, the 25-pound weights at the gym, the big ones. Take two of those, tie them together with one shoestring, and hang it around your neck, and then live like that forever.
So now that you're in your career, have you found that the girls have been an issue?
Girl, yes. Okay. And that people wouldn't, I think if you're not in the industry, you might not think so. But there are still so many brands that are scared of boobs.
Really?
Yes. People in general, like, you know, I'm a Christian, so there's the church and then there's the world. And they both respond the same way to boobs, which is absolutely, utterly ridiculous to me because we're all so offended by something that fed us.
Yeah. Gave life.
Literal nourishment. Yeah. And 11 times out of 10, if I'm around another woman with a big chest, we're not distracted. She could have her whole chest out. I'm not distracted by her chest. But everybody else is distracted. And so I dealt with comments about body from a very, very young age.
Yeah.
And it never stopped me from doing anything. As a matter of fact, I developed a mantra during that season of my life that everything they made fun of me for is going to make me money one day.
Wow.
And I started saying it all of the time.
Yeah. Were you always comfortable in front of the camera?
Yes.
What are some things you think you could say to maybe someone that's not trying to learn that? Yeah.
So first of all, what you tell yourself matters. And so if you don't have people around you to pour into that quirky thing or that thing you thought was cool when you were little, you have to be that person.
Yeah.
And you have to practice it. I went through a season where I had to remind myself of who I was. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Nichols, she did Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Okay.
And Lisa Nichols has a YouTube video where she talks about writing down the lie. You write down the lie that you believe in pencil, and you do it on lined piece of paper. You write down all the lies you believe about yourself, and then you go back over each one. You read the lie, you erase it, and you write the truth in pen.
Wow.
So I remember doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has another exercise that she does. And you just stand in the mirror butt naked. You don't suck in. And you just look from every angle and say, I am beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn the next angle and just say, I am beautiful. And you just do that. You do it every single day. And I remember doing that. And I remember like something snapped. I was like, I am beautiful. Like, why am I even doing this? But it works.
You normalized yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works.
Can we get into the story of your first modeling gig?
That was Curvy Kate. A stranger told me they thought I'd win this bra competition on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I entered, and I made it to the top 10 out of like 1,000 girls.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, when I did Curvy Kate, you had to get votes, okay? And I was singing in the choir at my church. My church, at the time, the one I was going to, it was like 1% of Lake County's population. It was a lot of people go to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can get a lot of votes here. It's bra modeling. So we had like this women's thing, and I went to the women of the church, and I was like, hey, guys. This was when I was a lot less bold. And I was like, I'm in this model search, and I really need votes, and it really means a lot to me if you guys will vote. And one of the mothers of the church was like, she found out, you know, it was bra modeling, and she's like, what are you going to do if a man sees you and, you know, is distracted from his wife or something like that?
Oh.
Modeling underwear or some, you know, some of that like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, when you go to Walmart and you buy a pack of underwear, do you sit there and intercede and pray for the woman on the package, or do you just hope they fit you?
Right.
And she was like, ooh.
Since you are a plus size model that's in an industry that's based on body and spectacle, do you feel like the modeling industry has gotten to a place where it adequately holds space for larger frames or plus size bodies?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. I think it's doing a great job starting to implement men.
Okay.
Love seeing a
like
bra.
Like on Savage Fenty.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think Target might have been first.
Okay.
Out of all the brands, I think Target does the best job.
Okay. So what are some more specific things that you, if you could change today about your industry, you would do?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that I'm here. I am the underrepresented frame.
Okay.
I'm going to shake the table. I'm going to shake the room because let me tell you something. I have been in plus size conversations where they're like, yeah, but you're big titty fat. You don't count.
Get into it.
Quote unquote. So, like, I still have to purchase things and wonder
mm-hmm.
what they're going to look like me on me. I buy 2 swimsuits, and guess what my mom does?
Mm-hmm.
Sews the tops together.
Get out.
Because they don't show it on a bustier frame. What you'll see, and thank God that you see it,
mm-hmm.
you'll see hourglass, which depending on my angle, I will look that way mm-hmm. because I know how to pose. You'll see apple. You'll see more hips than chest
mm-hmm.
more often than not. Almost everybody that's booking a whole bunch, it's a look.
Mm-hmm.
It's light skin, it's curly hair.
No belly.
It's no belly. But the reason why they have a small waist is because it's hips and their chest is very small.
Okay.
Like a lot of those girls are like B and A cups.
Whoa.
Maybe a small C.
Okay.
But that's why the waist looks so small, because your breast, it fills in some of that area. Like mm-hmm. it actually like wraps around you.
Yeah.
And so those are the body types you will see more often than not. You're not going to see very many inverted triangles
mm-hmm.
or bustier girls.
Wow.
So I think the industry needs to wake up, because you and your mama look like that.
And
so come on.
Is there, I hear curve model and I see plus size model. Are some of those differences that you named
what dictate which you are, or are those interchangeable phrases?
It depends on the region that you're in and who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly the race of the person you're talking to. Because I believe at the end of the day, most Black models, we built like this. So, like, even, like, the straight-sized models that are Black still got, like butt or, like, something about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, plus size and body positivity, if it didn't start this way, it almost feels this way. But it kind of just feels like a way for white women or those that are really attached to a Eurocentric idea of beauty
mm-hmm.
to make themselves feel better. Because I feel like more of my white friends, their moms, like, growing up were like, you need to lose weight. You need to stop eating that. You need to. But, like, I didn't experience that in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so I think there's more to it than just that. But a lot of the decision makers are still of one type of person.
So I wonder, it sounds like maybe we need plus size and maybe even plus size Black people making the decisions.
We need way, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So do you have any career advice or encouragement for aspiring models, particularly those who feel like they may differ from the current favored look?
Yes. The first thought I had was everybody is wrong.
Okay.
Most people didn't think I would do the things I've done, been the places that I've been. I've walked in New York Fashion Week in Spring Studios. I've been in Harper's Bazaar, in Elle Magazine online. I won an Emmy. Mm. I did all these things around 33 and 225 something pounds. Everybody's wrong. Whatever you believe, it will be. Now that's Bible. That's some philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. But it's the honest truth. And so if you're believing something about you at any age, in any condition,
mm-hmm.
if I think that I can, up until the point of 99 million no's,
mm-hmm.
everybody's wrong.
I love that. Big titty fat. That was the line for me.
Genius.
Big titty fat.
Yeah.
Look, when she said it, we all knew what she meant.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We all knew it. Okay, maybe Jennifer didn't know. But girl. First of all, you toned us all get out. Okay, so that number one. But it resonated. Like mm-hmm. big titty fat. No said. It needed no explanation.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And she doesn't sugarcoat and
yeah.
she's no nonsense. And there is a push for the word fat to be accepted. It's not derogatory.
Right.
It's just the shape of a body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think that, you know, the more that we just say what it is, then it's
like big titty fat.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Jennifer?
I liked her story about losing points for the wedgie. If you pick the wedgie, you know. And mainly because I'm like, you know, what she was saying to in my mind was like, I'm going to do this regardless of these sort of parameters that are set around me, losing points if I pick it. You know, I was inspired that she was like, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
And also, everybody is wrong. If
there
they
you
tell
go.
You
everybody's wrong.
That's
not
right.
to actually go for your dream and do what is meant for you to fulfill your purpose, then, you know, they wrong.
They're wrong.
She gave this conversation with her was like a master class in being unshakable about who you are, being wholly centered and cozy in your skin.
Yeah. I mean, that was the mic drop. We done.
And then Beyonce sue us to high hell for playing a clip of Cozy. Love you, girl. See you in July. And that's it for our body episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast.
And girl, we want to add you to the group chat. Our email address is magic@wbez.org. Send us an email or a voice memo. What do you want to hear on the show? What questions do you want us to get to the bottom of? Let us know. We want to hear from you.
Special thanks to our guest, Michaela Duerson, for joining us today. You can find more about her on Instagram at Michaela Duerson. When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Kevin Dawson is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Editing by Justin Bull. Engineering by Dave Miska, Haley Bloomquist, and J.R. Strauss. See y'all next week.